Father, Father, I want to thank and praise you, Father, for this morning. Father, even as I wait upon you, God, I pray, Father, that you will fill me with the power of thy Holy Spirit, God, that it will not be me, it will not be my words, but it will be only you. I pray, God, that you will be glorified, that you will be honored. And I pray, Father, that this word will become alive, that this word will speak to every person, O God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. There is a person here this morning. You know, there is some unforgiveness in your heart, and the Lord would say, I love you very much. And the Lord would remind you of the word that he spoke. And what he says to us this morning is that, I have forgiven you, I have forgiven you. And what I want to address this morning, says the Lord, is that when I have forgiven you, don't go back to that bondage. I've taken you out of that bondage. And if we don't forgive, what you're doing is that you want to go back to that bondage. And I want to release that of you this morning, says the Lord. And that's the revelation that I want to give you. When we hold back something, then we say to ourselves that we want to go back to that bondage, says the Lord this morning, and says, I love you, and I want you to come out of that. Lord, we want to thank and praise you, God. Thank you, Lord Father, for the love that we see here, God, and the fellowship and the joy. Oh God, we want to thank and praise you, God. And I pray, God, Father, that, oh God, nothing as I am, oh God, that you will fill me to overflow so that you will be exalted. And all said, Amen. You know, we've been here only for just a couple of days. And on Tuesday, we will be going on a tour through Europe. And I want to speak about our beautiful country, New Zealand. And I want to invite all of you because having seen some part of England, maybe just a day traveling around, and I invite you to be in New Zealand to see what New Zealand is. It's definitely different to England, so I invite you please to come and visit our beautiful country. A disciple is a worshipper. I shared this message about 3 or 4 weeks before in my church, because the Lord really spoke into my heart to speak about worship. Worship is something very important for you and for me. And what the Lord said to me is that when we worship the Lord, we need to worship Him as the Lord of Abraham, the Lord of Jacob, and the Lord of Isaac. And when the Lord spoke to me and asked me, how do I worship the Lord as the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac? He said to me, Theo, I want to teach you something. I want to reveal something to you. And that revelation this morning, I will speak unto you as the Lord has spoken to me. If you look at Mark chapter 12 and verse 26, it goes like this. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You know, when the Lord appeared to Moses, the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And when he appears to Moses, what does he say? He says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Isaac. Why does he say that? There is something meaningful in that when we call him. So say when we call him Abba Father, there is something in that. So just like that, we have a meaning in this which God wants you and I to know this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. So the first thing that we are going to look at this morning is that we would worship him as the God of Abraham. So what is the God of Abraham? If you look at this, There are two things, two keys in the God of Abraham that we see. The first thing is, he believed in God. So when we worship the Lord God as the God of Abraham, the first thing that we need to understand is that he truly believed in God. If you look at Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, it goes like this. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So, you and I, when we believe in God, what happens is that righteousness is credited. So when you go to a bank, when you have credit in your account, you can buy. If you go to a supermarket, you put in your FPOS card or whatever, and then you can purchase things. Why? Because there is credit in your account. Similarly, it's like that. When we truly believe in the Lord, the Word of God says righteousness is credited into you. So that righteousness is in you and me when we truly believe in God. So then what happens is then when we ask the Father, Father, you give me something, then we can receive it just as you go and give your FPOS card. So simple as that. And that is to believe in God. Now, the thing that we see here is a little different. In the FPOS card, when we put the FPOS card, we know that there is a credit balance in your account. But the fact here is that when we believe in God, do we see it? No, we don't see it. And that's the hope. And that's truly believing in the Father to know, yes, Lord, he is the God of Abraham. Because what did Abraham do? He moved in hope. He moved in hope. See, there was in our church, we have about 14 ethnic groups in our church. We have a Jewish person as well in the church. So here was this person, he's a Samoan, and he got cancer. And we as a church, we have been fighting with him, seeking the Lord, praying. And there was 4 weeks of chemotherapy, which he went through, and he was victorious, and we praised the Lord. And then when he went for the test, the doctor said, no, there is some trace of cancer, and that he has to go through 6 treatments of radiotherapy. And the radiotherapy is like this. It goes on every day, every day. And then the weekend, then starts again on Monday. And through that, this man was praising the Lord. Everything burnt behind, all gone, totally burnt. But he started praising the Lord. It came to the 5th week, church. 5th week. He was so broken. He was skin and bones. And I thought he won't make it to the radiotherapy. But he went. And when I went to the hospital to see him, he was laying in bed, and the family around, after encouraging him, I brought the family together, held their hands, and I wanted to pray. You know what he said? He said, whether I die or if I live, I will continuously worship and praise the Lord. And that is to truly believe. That's the hope that we have, the God of Abraham. And when we truly worship the Lord, knowing in hope, of the hope that we do not see, then we worship in the God of Abraham. So we need to ask the Lord, yes, Lord, I need to believe. This is the hope that I have, a hope which is a sure hope that we have. So when we truly believe in the God of Abraham, we create then a platform for us to stand. And that's the foundation that we have. The platform of faith, believing in the Father. Believing in the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. And the second key that the Lord revealed to me is that He is the God of promise. When we know that He is the God of Isaac, of Abraham, we believe, we know that He believes, that we have faith as a platform. And second, we also know that He is the God of the promise. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, it goes like this. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. See, the promise of the Father to you and to me is yes and amen in the Lord. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, in the case of Abraham, he went on. The promise came to him at the age of 75. Nothing happened. And he went on. And then we see at the age of 10 years after, God comes to Abraham. And then he strengthens Abraham with another promise. He encourages him. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 4, he comes to encourage Abraham through the time of waiting. Church, when God gives you and me a promise, there is a time of waiting for us to fulfill the promise. Remember, firstly, he thought that the platform of faith. So the platform of faith for you and I to believe is to wait. And then it's the promise which will be fulfilled. So that is the God of Abraham for you and for me. Knowing that the promise that He gives you will surely stand because we stand on the faith of the Lord. I'll give you an example which happened in our lives. 1989, there was a prophecy that the Lord was taking us to a country with 4 stars on the flag. And that was a promise. We never knew that it was going to come to pass. New Zealand has 4 stars on the flag. And the man who gave a promise prophecy said also, the flag is blue in color. He also said it has 2 islands. But said, he doesn't know the country. He said it could be England. And that was the promise in 1989. 1997 or 1995, when we applied, we moved jobs and we came, we went to I got a job at Haley to manage a few companies. And as I was managing these companies, the board of Haley's thought said that these companies need to be closed down. And when they said that these companies had to be closed down, I said, I'm not going to apply for another job in Sri Lanka, and I will apply to New Zealand. And we applied. And in 1997, when the papers were approved, that's the time we saw 4 stars on the flag. And we believed and knew that it was God who was sending us. The promise in 1989, fulfilled in 1997. But then wait. We came to New Zealand in 2001. And when we came to New Zealand in 2001, we were in the motel for 2 months. There was no job. There was nothing. All our monies were being spent, and we had to wait for the Lord. We were wondering whether we had imagined. In the case of Abraham, the same thing would have gone through. 10 years passed, nothing happened. But he believed in the Father. We believed in the Father as well. Time went on. Monies were running down. And I see now that there are some people here who are waiting like that for his promise. So we waited. At one stage, it came to a point of giving up. We as a family, the children were very small. We held our hands together and cried before the Lord and said, Lord, you gave us a promise. Lord, we believed in you. And today we ask of you, if it is your will, you will bring a servant of God into this motel and confirm to us that we are here by your will. And surely the Lord answered our prayer. And that's what he did to Abraham as well. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the man who came, you and I will know, was Robin. Robin was visiting New Zealand. He was not living in New Zealand. He had come from Australia. And somebody had said that we had migrated. And God had prompted him to look for us and come and speak to us. And that is the love of the Father, church. And that's the promise. That's the promise of the Father. Therefore, that he is called the God of Abraham. And the next thing that we are going to look is we worship the God of Jacob. He is the God of Jacob. And the two keys to open this is that he restores our failures through worship. He restores our failures through worship. Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 to 15. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you live, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread around to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south, and to you and to your seed, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Okay, I'll explain this to you. Now, Jacob was running away. Remember, church, this is something very important for you and for me to grasp. Jacob was a liar. Jacob was a deceiver. And he was running away with fear. What did we study first? We studied that God is a God of promise, God of Abraham. And here when we pray, we say that he is the God of Isaac and Jacob. But I want to take Jacob first. Why? Because I want to speak about grace. Because when we speak about God of Abraham, Jacob, Jacob means grace for you and for me. When we pray to the Father saying, oh Lord, you are the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, or Isaac and Jacob. For you and for me, it means, yes, Lord, you are the God of grace. So right from the beginning, God brings grace to save you and for me. So when you look at the story of Jacob, you see that Jacob was running away. Running away because of what? Fear. Running away because he was a liar. Running away because he has cheated. And he was so tired. And he was sleeping that night. How many of us are like that, church? How many of us go through situations like that? We are tired. We have done something wrong. We are running away from a situation. We have hurt somebody. And you know what happens? The Lord comes to you. The Lord comes to you. And what did the Lord do? Came to Jacob. And that is the grace of the Father for you and for me. How amazing is that? In that situation, when no one wants you, when nobody wants you, and everyone wants to chase you out and put you down, the Lord comes to you and pours His arms upon you. So when you pray and say, Lord, You are the God of Jacob, you'll understand, yes, Lord, I have failed. Yes, Lord, I have done wrong. But still, Father, when I call You as the God of Jacob, I understand, Lord. I understand my failures. I understand my wrongs. I understand, Lord, and I can come to You. How amazing is that? He reminds us that He is the God of mercy, that He is the God of grace, and He is the God of love. So early morning, Jacob wakes up. Genesis chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Then Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone, and he put it at his head, set up a pillar, and poured oil on top of it, and called the place Bethel. How amazing is that? When the Lord of mercy and the Lord of grace comes, we can worship at Bethel, because Bethel comes into your heart, church. Bethel comes into your heart. How amazing is that? So when you worship the Lord and say, Lord, You are the God of Jacob, believe that He has forgiven you. Believe that mercy has come into your heart. And this heart is a heart of Bethel unto Him. Hallelujah. In the same point, He strengthens the weak. He also strengthens the weak. When we see that He is the God of Jacob, remember that He strengthens the weak. Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 and 12. Then Jacob said, O God, my father, Abraham, and God, my father, Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which You have shown Your servant. This is what Jacob is praying. Jacob is saying. Now Jacob wants to return. Jacob wants to return to his home because he had been with Laban. And he's crying to the Father. He's praying and he's saying, You have shown Your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me, and the mother with the children. For You said, I will surely treat you well, and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now he reminds him. He says, Lord, you said You will protect me. Now I want to go back to my brother, and I fear him. How many are you like that? You become so weak, and you're not able to go forward. The Lord understands you. When you say that You are the God of Jacob, then we know our weaknesses, church. Where we are in our weakest moment, whatever your weakest moment, maybe you have a weakness which is inside. Whether it's gambling, whether it's drinking, whether it's pornography, whatever. All that weakness, God today understands you and says yes. Or you have a fear of your brother, whatever weakness. And that God wants to encourage and strengthen you to pull you out of that. And I'll tell you this story about Jacob. Look what he did. First of all, he sends a message to Esau, and he says, I'm sending all these gifts to you.
And the messenger comes back to Jacob and tells that he has 400 men is coming to meet Jacob. Jacob gets more frightened, gets more scared. And what does Jacob do? Goes before the Lord. And before he goes before the Lord, what does he do? He also makes a lot of gifts for him and prepares all these gifts and tells the servants, go before, you will go before. And when you see Esau, bow before Esau and call him Lord and says, your servant has given all these gifts. Two sets of gifts were going in front. And finally, at the last, was his children and him were to follow. And he goes before the Lord and says, Lord, Father, you have sent me to go. Church, what I want to speak to you is this. When we want to say sorry, when we want to say sorry and we want to go back, there is so much of fear in us. There is so much which holds us back. But the Lord would say to you, when you call on the God of Jacob, he gives you that strength to understand that weakness, to meet that need at that moment, church. That is so important for you and for me. Maybe we have hurt somebody. Here in the case of Jacob, he had cheated his brother, but the Lord wanted him to go back. The Lord wanted him to go back. And the Lord gives him the strength to go back. So, in your weakness of going back and making amends, to say, yes, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry I have done this. In your weakness, the Lord will give you that strength. So when you pray and say, Lord, you are the God of Abraham, you know what God of Abraham means to you and for me. And then Jacob, yes, Lord, you are the God of mercy, that grace. You are the God in my weakness. So in my weakness, you are there for me. Finally, church, I took this last because I didn't want to spoil your lunch. I spoke about grace before speaking about obedience. But when we pray, we say, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I brought grace before obedience. Why did I do that? I did that for a simple reason, not to condemn, not to bring guilt upon you, but to know when we truly believe in the Father that the grace and that love overflows. And because of that grace and love overflows, we will be able to love him and walk according to his love. Therefore, obeying his commands, not on account of fear. Church, that is so important for you and for me. And that's why I took this last. Let's look at him. So let's worship him as the God of Isaac. Isaac was obedient to the Father to the point of death. And that's the sacrifice that you and I see in Jesus. And that's the sacrifice. The sacrifice of Isaac. Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 to 8 goes like this. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offerings and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Just picture this. Here is the father and the... Okay, will you come? You can be my son. And here, I am Abraham, and he's Isaac. And I have kept on him all the wood, and he has the wood on him, he's carrying the wood, and he's carrying with him, the knife and all that.
and we are going along, and suddenly he asked me, "Father, I have the wood, I have the knife, where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice?" And surely this son is intelligent. Maybe he's not 17, maybe he's not 17, but he's definitely very, very intelligent. And he would have been wondering, what's going on? And in those days, sons could be sacrificed. So he would have been, what would have been going on in his mind? But still, he obeyed. But he still obeyed. That's the beauty, church. That's the beauty. See, when we say he's the God of Isaac, Jesus obeyed nevertheless. And that's the sacrifice that we saw. He was placed on the altar. He built the altar. And then Abraham placed him on the altar, tied him up. Still, he did not say a word. And that sacrifice came from his heart without making any noise. So when we say he is the God of Isaac, we remember not only the sacrifice of Isaac, but we remember the sacrifice that Jesus did for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. How amazing is this story of God, of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, right from the beginning, woven from the Old Testament into the New Testament, bringing them together. How beautiful is this word. How wonderful is this word. You know, when we look at the story of Saul, and that's why God hated Saul, and he took the kingdom off him, because he knew of the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. But what he said was, when he was asked to go and defeat the Amalekites and come back, not taking anything from there, but when he comes back, he brings all the fatted calf with him. And when Samuel finds out, he says, "I brought them for a sacrifice." And that's what hurt the Lord. He said, "I brought it for a sacrifice." So you and I, when we worship the Lord, we must worship him in spirit and in truth, knowing whom we worship, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, not like Saul. Saul just did it and he said, "No, I brought that for to worship you, to sacrifice." No, God does not want a sacrifice of that. God wants a sacrifice from within our heart to truly know that he is the God, the Father of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. So today, as we are his disciples, would we say to ourselves, "Yes, Lord, you have taught me something today. And I will take this home. And I will say, God, this is the way that I will worship you. Knowing that I have faith. Knowing, oh God, that there is a promise, God, that you have given me. And those promises are yes and amen. Secondly, knowing, Father, that you are the God of grace and mercy. And in my weakness, you are there. And finally, to know, yes, Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. And I will obey." Shall we pray? Father, 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 I pray, Father, that you are the God of Abraham. You are the God of Jacob. You are the God of Isaac. Lord, we want to thank and praise you, God. Father, I pray that this word, oh God, Jesus, Father, will speak and will touch their hearts, God. Father, and as they worship you, God, surely that they will know that you are the God of grace, that you are the God of mercy, that you are the God of faith, that you are the God of promise. And, oh God, that you expect us, oh God, Father, to obey you because you are love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.